Well, we'll see how this goes. I'm wearing my lucky game pants. They weren't too lucky Friday night. And Judy gave me this Filipino preaching hanky that I've kept in a sacred place in my house to this moment. So I thank you for that, Judy. Let's see, about 2010, I can't remember. My memory's going bad as I get old. I can't even remember being born anymore. But about 2010, I collapsed and couldn't breathe. And I know Paula was called, and an ambulance was called. And I was laying out there looking across the grass, and everything was starting to fade out. I was sweating like a madman like I am now. And, you know, you see things. You see, like, you think I saw angels coming at me. And I'm thinking, this is it. And you say your prayers, and you think how unworthy you are. And then you realize when you're at that moment how fully the blood of Jesus covers our sins, because he's our only hope. So I was laying there, I said, man, as a human being, I didn't cut it. But, you know, I have a Savior that did the hard work, and I appreciate him so. So tonight's lesson's about forgiveness. It's, to me, a pretty complex subject that I'll barely touch tonight. You can talk about it a little bit like talking about a football play. You know, we started football back in February, probably, talking about how plays were run. And the last game on Friday, the kids were still asking how things were run, because it's so technical, the footwork and how your position, how big do you want the splits on this play, and just it went on and on. So this stuff is kind of complex for me. I know it's easy to just say forgive, and, you know, forgive and forget. It's all right. But it's a pretty deep subject, and it's a subject I have a lot of trouble with. I was talking to Paula the other day about kind of my own personality. I try so hard to filter what I say. And, you know, we were talking about where that would have come from. I don't want to say anything to hurt anyone. I want to build people up. I don't ever want to tear people down. I always want to deprecate myself rather than put myself above somebody. And so if somebody's not doing that to me, it's like, you're insulting me. Why are you doing that? But it's their personality, not mine. And in myself, you can say forgive, but there's stuff from my childhood that I have forgotten. I'm sure there's stuff in your childhood that you still haven't let go. And stuff that happened a month ago that you won't let go. Something happened to you about a year and a half ago to me, and I just won't let it go. And I know you're supposed to. You're supposed to forgive and forget. So it's pretty complex. God said to forgive. So we better figure out how to do it. It's kind of my thought. Turn to Matthew. You don't have to turn there because it's all up on the screen. Matthew 6:14-15 says, "For if we give men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This is God's promise to us that we have to do our part if we expect and hope for God to do his part. We have to be willing to forgive others if we hope for God to forgive us of our transgressions. Christ shows us how to reconcile our relationship with God, and he shows us how to reconcile our relationship with man. Also, as you follow this lesson, it's not a time lesson, it's a number lesson. So if you look up in the upper corner, the numbers are there. There's 35 numbers that you have to go through. You know, and Randy's a wonderful preacher and all, but a lot of times when he's preaching, I'm looking at the time. Well, where are we? And I know others around me are checking off things. You know, it's a checklist. All you have to do is look at the screen. You got to go 30, 35 of them. Each one will take no more than 10 minutes. Okay. Reasons we might have trouble forgiving. So I've got this from a lot of different doctors, a lot of different therapists. Not that I personally went to, though. I have seen somebody before. I think a lot of us have probably seen somebody for some problem. I had a hard time getting over my looks. Man should not look this good. So reasons we might have trouble forgiving. We might feel an apology needs to come first. We might feel the offender is being punished through our grudge. That's a good one. I think a lot of us feel that way. We might feel forgiveness excuses their accountability. Why would I forgive them? They were the guilty party. They're still accountable. We might feel anger can keep us from being hurt again. Put up that barrier. We might feel that we can't forget, thus we can't forgive. So we'll talk about here in Isaiah, where God says in Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. It's not that we can't remember the hurtful event, but that we make the choice to not dwell on the event with anger and revenge. We might look past that transgression. Now, some of those might be kind of real hurtful that you're trying to look past, and some are just everyday things that you don't ever forget. Okay, I had an uncle that got me jogging about 12 years of age, and I jogged up till I was about 47. It never looked like it. People thought I was pretty sedentary, but I jogged almost, if I could, every day of my life up till that point. And then a big old lineman at Centennial, I think he was about 6'7", 6'8", 300-something pounds, stepped on my toe and just crushed the joint, my big toe. And I tried to get it fixed, and they couldn't fix it. I don't have any animosity towards the kid, but I ain't forgetting that. Every time I step over that foot, and then they haven't fixed it. So I haven't forgotten, but I sure forgave them. Matthew 6, 9 through 12. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Sin is a debt, and man owes his part in this to be forgiven. And it's not a judicial thing that we're talking about here like in a court of law. It's the type that we have to give with love and mercy like God extends to us to others. So it's something that's coming from our heart and something that's coming from our inner love. Forgiveness in the Greek means to let go of something. So if you forgive, you let go. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32 says, Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3 and 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We pardon the offender when we forgive. To pardon means forgiving an offense that's been issued towards us or to be forgiven for an offense that we listed upon somebody else. Okay, so we're just getting the basics, right? Luke 6 and 37, Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Remember, as I read from so many psychologists, therapists, forgiveness is actually a gift that we give ourselves. We sometimes think that we're extending this to somebody else. We're actually letting go of it for ourselves. In the Sacred Selections, which we partook of tonight, page 530, we did not partake of that one. It says, Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. We are all seeking that inner peace. When we're in conflict with one another and we have anger, resentment, bitterness towards one another, we aren't really participating in this peace, perfect peace. A lot of us are thinking of maybe getting revenge. Maybe like I do, I'm going to withdraw myself from you, deprive you of my personality. Why should you get all this? I'll keep it to myself. So we all handle it differently, right? In John 14, 27, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Who's saying that? It's Jesus, huh? He's telling us to have this peace within us. If we continue to look for solutions of violence on earth, we will never find it. We will never find a solution to what's being done with us. Somebody said the other day, or it was today, about how hurtful the world is. All the hurts that we deal with all the time. It might have been Randy. I might have had a moment of consciousness. No earthly human can solve these problems. Instead, we must start putting our trust back in the Lord. So we aren't going to solve the problems. We're not going to fix things. I can't make you do anything you don't want to do. And you can't make me do anything I don't want to do unless you're offering me food. Number 11. Almost every kid has a memory of being excluded on the playground. I do. Now, this was written by somebody else. I was in the third grade when suddenly the popular girls decided that I couldn't play with them. The insult stung longer than the few days that left me out of their activities. But exclusion doesn't stop as children grow into adults. From work cliques to Facebook jive, people of all ages exclude others from acceptance, love, and affection, often for no discernible reason. And as I've read a little bit of this material, like I said, I don't pretend to be knowledgeable in this, but it causes a trauma in the individual if somebody goes through that. Trauma creates a victimization within an individual in which God repeatedly tells us to forgive the offender. So you're being victimized, but you're supposed to put on that forgiving nature. In severe victimization, counseling is often required. So somebody that's been severely traumatized, if you told them apparently just forgive and forget, move on, then that cannot resolve some of the problems within them, and they'll have a lot of dysfunction within themselves and how they behave. So when God tells us to forgive, we've got to figure out how to do this. We've got to make it work. Instead of just saying, oh, just forgive and move on, you've got to figure out how to fix that problem in the person so that they can reach the point of forgiveness. Many professional therapists, including Dr. Robert Berezin, says that just to say, oh, I forgive you, can be very unhelpful to a victimized individual. A period of mourning must take place where the trauma is analyzed, where the pain inflicted by an individual is identified and deactivated. By facing the pain, we can put it behind us where it no longer rules us. So, of course, that would be sitting down with somebody who knew what they were talking about to really get down into that problem so that you can be looking at some resolutions. They look at therapists look at dealing directly with the problem created in the brain, but still the Bible tells us to forgive, as I just said. The Mayo Clinic says the act that hurt or offended you might always be with you, but forgiveness can lessen the grip on you and help free you from the control of the person who harmed you. Forgiveness can even lead to feelings of understanding, empathy, and compassion for the one who hurt you. They were just a really whacked human being. Okay, if you can reach that point through a lot of therapy and understanding, you might get to that point where finally forgiveness can be elicited to where you can move on and have some peace in your life. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting or excusing the harm done to you or making up with a person who caused the harm. That's reconciliation, right? That might never occur. But you can still have forgiveness for the person or forgiveness of the person in the act without ever being reconciled to that person or seeing them again. Forgiveness brings a kind of peace that helps you go on with your life in a positive way. Dr. Henry Grayson, he wrote a book, Use Your Body to Heal Your Mind. He said, when we live with resentment and do not practice forgiveness, we are holding on to emotional injuries. By staying attached to these negative feelings, we keep the cells in our body in the state of negativity rather than at peace, setting up potential illnesses. And the last one I'll give you is clinical psychologist Dr. Margaret Nagib said, when we refuse to forgive, it is because we get stuck in an unwillingness to recognize our vulnerability. We need to get comfortable with the idea, I was hurt and I will be hurt again. Then we need to release that idea and the feeling it creates. Forgiveness offers you the chance to acknowledge your vulnerability and decide what you want to do and how when a similar situation happens in the future. When we don't allow this process, we get stuck in our wounded identity. So we are in that victimization mode. We'll get there. What causes traumatic events? It could be a one-time event, like a violent attack, especially in childhood. It can be ongoing stress, such as bullying, domestic violence, childhood neglect. Commonly overlooked causes such as humiliating or deeply disappointing experiences, especially if someone was deliberately cruel to you. I know in my case, forgiveness, I think, is really hard if you do something to my kids or my wife. That's where it's really hard. I've never fought in my life, and I got in the guy's face and wanted him to throw first when Paul was pregnant and he wouldn't let her pull in the driveway. And then I had to go out after I got home, and she told me the story, and I never liked that. I was ready to throw down on that guy. He was doing that to my wife. If you do that to me, I just would have smiled. Okay, I'll go around. But sometimes, you know, it's other people in your life, too, that's causing this. Okay, some effects of trauma. Okay, part of that victimization. Not that you feel like a victim, but you were the victim. Irritability, anger, denial, depression, headaches, nausea, sudden dramatic mood changes, anxiety or nervousness, flashbacks or repeated memories of the event, difficulty concentrating, altered sleep or insomnia, changes in appetite, intense fear that the dramatic event will reoccur, withdrawal and isolation from day-to-day activities. It can be major trauma. It can be light trauma. I know I got in a car totaled here about a month and a half ago or so. And every time I go by there, I look at it, and I do as I'm going by, I go, okay, and the stain was still on the road. I know we had rain, so it might have got finally washed away. But every time I went through it, then I'm thinking somebody's going to turn in front of me, and there's no one there. So these things stay with you, and it doesn't really get resolved sometimes. In Psychology Today, forgiveness is a crucial element in leading a healthy, fulfilling life after experiencing abuse, hurt, or trauma. Romans 12:17-19. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. How in the world do you do that when you're in a really stressful situation? Maybe you've counted to 10 before. Maybe you left the room. Okay, there was a point in Kate's childhood where she wouldn't keep her diaper on. She went 2 hours. I went 2 hours with her. On the diaper, take the diaper off. On the diaper, 2 hours. Paula will testify to it. And finally, I got in my mind I was going to throw her through the wall. And when I thought that, I got out of the room, recovered, fought. You know, sometimes you have to remove yourself. Same thing with our kids, and you maybe do this with your kids. You're upset at your kids. You send them in the other room, and you never talk to them until you've cooled down. Because you don't want to take out your anger and disappointment on them. You just want to resolve their behavioral issue. So, revenge is not ours to take. Evil weighs down our hearts and becomes a never-ending cycle. The Lord will avenge those who choose to live an evil life. They're the whack people. Forgiveness is a process of feeling, understanding, and letting go that is a gift to oneself. I emphasize that forgiveness is a process, not an event. Additionally, forgiveness has little, almost nothing to do with the other person. So how do I actually forgive? And she gives 11 elements to this, 11 parts. So we'll go over these. First one is to strive to gain an objective understanding of the hurtful behavior or situation. And remember that you can do things differently right now. If you can calm down and just remember Joe Friday of Dragnet fame. Remember he said, ma'am, the facts, just the facts. Okay, so just get the facts down. Remove the element of being really upset and ticked off or hurt or whatever it is and get the facts. Slide 18, number 2. Truly know yourself and what makes you tick. Your motives, beliefs, behaviors, dreams, and feelings. So why are you reacting to that in the way that you're reacting? It might be you. Number 3, identify, label, and express your feelings. It is important to do this in a safe way and in a safe place so that you do not perhaps unintentionally further hurt yourself or someone else. I also strongly recommend you work with a guide such as a mental health professional. Number 4, name painful beliefs about yourself, others, and the world. So to thine own self be true. Know who you are, know why you're reacting to it. Number 5, acknowledge emotions. Ride their waves and let them pass. Emotions last about 30 to 90 seconds and come in waves. You can do almost anything for 30 to 90 seconds. The other thing I was talking to Paula about is I try to buffer what I say and I try to wait a while before I say it. Now, sometimes it's a little harder on the football field, but I know some people are just exploding on those kids. And if they just took a few seconds to see what actually really happened, and ask the kid, what'd you see? Why did you do that? They might figure it out. Because I've had so many people tell me after they've watched the game film, oh, it's completely different than I thought. And they just explode on the kid. I mean, sometimes I just want to hide. I feel bad for the kid. But I don't say anything. Number 6, allow yourself to grieve losses such as those of your innocence, hopes, dreams, and significant relationships. Grieving is painful, but it takes us to the place of acceptance. So this isn't a perfect life. And people are going to get you sometimes. Can you live with being taken? Can you live with that? Some of the best advice, like I've said this before from up here, my dad ever gave me is you could live as a Christian and do unto others as you should, they're going to think you're a sucker. A lot of people will think, what's wrong with this guy? And that's, can you live with that? Number seven, create a payoff and cost list to identify what you get out of what consequences you experience from the beliefs, feelings, and behaviors that cause the pain that you're experiencing. Number eight, decide to let go. When emotions come up, it can be easy and almost natural to get stuck and languish in them. I don't know if this is exactly what Randy's always talking about, but he's always talking about a pity party. And every time he says that, I want to kick him in the teeth because I go through the best pity parties of anyone on earth. You know, and all it does is kick me in the teeth. And I'm like, Randy, don't say that stuff. Somewhere in the process, making the conscious decision to let go will be crucial to moving forward. Number nine, set limits that are self-care directed, not meant for punishment or revenge. What's going to help you in this situation? Not get back at the other person, but what's going to actually help you to come through this? This includes if, how, and when you have contact with those who have harmed you. So pre-plan it. I'm going to see that person again. I'm not going to wait till I see them and then these emotions flare up and then I feel that anger, bitterness, frustration, hate, or whatever you're feeling against that person. You've already kind of worked through some of those things. Number 10, practice being gentle and kind to yourself and others. That's an attitude, right? It's an attitude that we should have for others. Number 11, share your experience, strength, and hope with others who have experienced similar hurts and pains. I know my wife is really good at this. My daughters are really good at this. Sharing information. Get it out. You know. Yeah, I remember Paula said to someone, oh, Dave didn't tell me. I don't know why she said that. Something happened just the other day. I said, oh, Dave didn't mention it. Well, I'd have to talk to do that. So I don't know what she was expecting. Forgiveness is not. What is forgiveness not? It's not condoning the behavior that is unacceptable or hurtful. So if I've forgiven somebody, it's not like, oh, okay, that was fine what you did. No, it might have been totally wrong. You're not condoning what they did. Forgetting or attempting to forget behavior and or events that happened. Letting someone off the hook for their behavior. Absolving the perpetrator of sin with no earthly consequences. Superficially deciding that all is done and forgiven. So to do this stuff effectively, God tells us to forgive. And to do it effectively, because God forgives us, right? And the blood of Christ covers us. So how do we exhibit this behavior that he wants from us without just superficially saying, well, God, you know, I forgave those people. I carried a hate for years against them, but I forgave them. Forgiveness. Pick an event where you felt you were wronged. Doesn't have to be today. It could be a while ago. But if you think back to when you're wrong, I can think of some real specific ones in my life where I felt I was wronged. Did you forgive the individual? If so, do you still remember the event without anger and bitterness resulting? Remember, God doesn't forgive our sins, but he's omnipotent. Omnipotent. That's how you say it. He knows everything. He chooses not to focus on it, is the way that I understand it. I might forget that you've done something against me, but I haven't really forgotten it, but I forgot it. In that I'm not focusing all the time, I'm not choosing to dwell on it. I know that it happened, but it's not something that I put at the foremost of my thought, and when I see you, that's the first thing I think of. We're getting there, folks. Trauma, physical abuse, emotional abuse, injury. Trauma occurs where forgiveness would be applied a lot of times when you feel that you've been wronged, emotionally or physically. Basically, any trauma experienced first or second hand, it doesn't even have to be you. I told you about the guy that wouldn't let Paula pull in when she was pregnant. That's second hand. I didn't experience that. It didn't bother me. I had a nice day to that point. Seeking professional help for individual, group, or family counseling can be very helpful. I had a lot of trouble with that years ago because I figured I'm a strong person. I don't need to see anyone. And sometimes when you have things that are so entrenched within your life, it's good to sit down with somebody that really knows how the brain works and how emotions are working. And they can sit down with you and help you to figure stuff out and become a helpful, more productive human being. So get over your pride if you're dealing with something real deep within you. 31. Some physical reactions to trauma. What might you be experiencing if you are dealing with this stuff where forgiveness may be needed? Aches and pains like headaches, backaches, stomach aches, check. Sudden sweating and heart palpitations, check. Changes in sleep patterns and appetite, check. Easily startled by noises or unexpected touch, check. More susceptible to illnesses, kind of. Overeating, word. If these apply to you, you have to kind of attack them and work on them. I know I work on them when I go to a restaurant. I never try to sit where the waitress comes up from behind me because I'll flip my juice in the air, I'll rattle my plate, I'll jump in the air. Randy came up and scared me to death today, and I think he did it on purpose. He came up and said hi. I think I threw some papers or something. I'll get them later. Oh, no, I forgive you. 32. Some emotional reactions to trauma. You have fear and anxiety. You deny that it happened. You're irritable. You're restless. You have anger outbursts. Emotional swings. You're laughing and then you're crying. Very manic behavior, right? Or mania. Worrying or ruminating about the traumatic event. Keep thinking about it every time you go by. Think about it. Nightmares. Feelings of a helplessness. Panic. Feeling out of control. I can't resolve the situation. Difficulty trusting and or feelings of betrayal. Tendencies to isolate yourself. Loss of a sense of order or fairness in the world and desire for revenge. I just thought it's important. I mean, there's a lot more than these, but I thought maybe if any of you are dealing with any of these, you might think, you know, well, why am I dealing with these things? Now, some helpful coping strategies. We know the harmful coping strategies that this society employs, right? A lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, a lot of violence, a lot of graffiti stuff, tearing up things, vandalism. Mobilize a support system. Reach out and connect with others, especially those who may have shared the stressful event. So you talk it out with somebody that went through it with you. Talk about the traumatic experience with empathetic listeners, somebody who actually makes eye contact with you and doesn't glaze over. Crying helps. Hard exercise like jogging, aerobics, bicycling, walking helps to get that out. Relaxation exercise like yoga, stretching, massage. Having a sense of humor. Prayer and or meditation. Listening to relaxing guided imagery, progressive deep muscle relaxation. Remember what Dr. Levin also proposed. She said prayer. So prayer is the huge one, right? As Christians, we go to God in prayer and we share what we learn in the Bible, what we put into our own lives, and try to find resolutions to this forgiveness thing that we're going through. There's the magic number that you're waiting for, 35. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Be that new creature of joy. Deny bitterness and anger in your life. Learn to truly forgive as God desires us to do so. Give yourself a break. Don't let that other person just control your life. Be in control of your own life. If anyone is here this evening and would like to be baptized, become a Christian, you can certainly do this here in a second as we stand and sing a song. Or if you need to come forward and have the prayers of the church, we can do that as well. So please do either one as together we stand and we sing.
Heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Please be seated.